Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you that as we come to the book of Proverbs, that you have given this wonderful book. God, we thank you that it teaches us how to live your way, how to live wisely in a world that is marked by foolishness and marked by living in ways that are certainly harmful to ourselves, harmful to those around us, but even more than that, ways that dishonor you. Thank you that you have given us the book of Proverbs to teach us how to live as your people with wisdom in this age. As we come to Proverbs 31 this morning, Father, our prayer is that you would prepare us to hear from you, to hear your word as that very thing, the very word of the living God. And Lord, not to just think that it is some advice from sages long ago, but to recognize that it comes to us with the absolute authority of God. And so, Father, we pray this morning, help us to hear and to trust what you say and to recognize your ways are best, your ways are good. And I pray, Lord, that you would capture not just our minds, but our hearts to delight in you and who you are and to be captivated by what you have done for us in Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we would be transformed by your word to live in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, we love you and we thank you that you have spoken to us. And we believe in your spirit and ask that by your spirit you would apply its eternal truths to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Abraham Lincoln, who served as president during one of the most tumultuous and darkest days in our nation's history during the Civil War, said, "I regard no man as poor who has a godly mother." Our nation today finds itself in the midst of dark and tumultuous and godless days. We see our society rejecting truth and embracing lies, embracing wholesale moral and social insanity and bankruptcy. Today, we desperately need godly mothers. As we come to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, Proverbs 31 is split in two parts. The second two-thirds of Proverbs is a poem about the excellent wife. The first nine verses that we are going to look at today is the teaching of a godly mother to her son on how to be a godly king in a godless society. So let's look at Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 9. We read the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. "What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth. Judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy." For those of you who are mothers or grandmothers, my main application today is going to be directed at you, but yet we're going to learn that what Lemuel's mother indeed teaches all of us today, but for those of you who are mothers or grandmothers, you can teach your children to live and lead wisely to serve others rather than to gratify their selfish desires. That is what Lemuel's mother taught him. And so mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, you have a great both responsibility and a great privilege because you can teach your children to live and lead wisely to serve others rather than just living to gratify all of their own selfish desires. Now, as we begin here, we need to note, we do not know who King Lemuel was. His name means belonging to God. This may be a pseudonym for a king of Judah or Israel, or perhaps, and probably more likely, he's actually a non-Israelite who has come to know the Lord. Either way, notice he begins with the words, "I'm going to tell you an oracle that my mother taught me." Why did his mother teach him about how to rule wisely by serving justly rather than gratifying selfish desires? Why did he need to learn this? Well, because Lemuel, like us today, lived in the midst of a godless society. You know, since Adam and Eve disobeyed God back in the Garden of Eden, we have all lived in a sinful world, a world in which we're all just living for our selfish desires to get what we want. And yet, you look throughout history and there are some societies that are far more godly than others. You have some societies where, you know, people's lives are valued and where you have people caring for one another, but then you also find on the other side there are societies that completely just abandon themselves to godlessness and don't give any concern to those who are around them. They just live for self. Lemuel's mother is teaching him to be a godly king in this godless society. You may say, well, where do I see this as a godless society he lived? Well, the very fact that she has to tell him to not live to gratify his selfish desires and to live in drunkenness, the very fact that she has to tell him, son, your job as king is to care for those who are poor and needy, that shows us that he was in a society that was corrupted. A society in which it was very easy for him to be able to do those things that he ought not do. But it would be something that he had to stand up for what's right in order to do what the king was supposed to do. So living all these centuries later, after this is written, what can we learn from this godly mother who lived in a godless society and helped to raise her son to be a godly king? Well, there are five lessons that we can learn. First, I want to begin with speaking to those of you who are mothers. Again, this would include grandmothers. Mothers, the Lord has entrusted you with the task to help teach your children. You know, today is Mother's Day, and I hope that doesn't catch anybody by surprise. We live in a society that, yes, it will take one day a year and celebrate mothers, but throughout the rest of the year, our society discounts motherhood. We see a recent report that notes that birth rates have fallen to dangerously low levels in our nation. One sign that we have devalued motherhood. We see the sheer volume of abortions in our nation, and that reminds us that motherhood is so often devalued. We see the discounting of motherhood when Stay-at-home moms are told that they are robbing society by remaining home to care for their children rather than going back into the workforce. Now let me be clear. I'm not saying that every mom needs to be a stay-at-home mom. That is something that each family has to make that decision. But do not let society that devalues motherhood tell you how to be a mother. Listen, moms, no matter what you do outside of your home, no matter how many degrees that you have, you've got to have your priorities straight. You've got to have God first. After God, your husband, and then your children. Everything else comes after that. Because you are actually serving the good of society by caring for your family. As Christians, we dare not fall into the trap of a society that denigrates the role of mothers. Mothers, God has given you an essential role in His creation and in society. Without the next generation, we're ruined. Moms, what is your role? Well, we see here in what Lemuel's mom does for Lemuel, your role is to teach your children, to help teach your children. Yes, the Bible puts the main emphasis on fathers as the primary parent, but it doesn't in any way denigrate the role of mothers. You are just as essential. And so often when there's no man in the picture, it rests on your shoulders completely. Notice she taught her son. That word taught is the Hebrew word yasar, and one commentator defines to teach this way. He says, to teach is to communicate knowledge in order to shape specific conduct. In other words, moms, your job isn't just to fill your child's head with a bunch of math facts and history lessons, as important as those are for them to learn. You are to aim for their hearts. You are to seek for them to love the truth so much that it transforms how they live. So the book of Proverbs, it isn't just written to give us, you know, cute, quaint sayings on how to live life. It's also not a book of promises. But Proverbs impart godly wisdom in how to live in a fallen world, in a godless society. That's why the book of Proverbs begins with the words, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. Why? Because true wisdom is found only in relationship with God. A relationship in which you revere God as God, where God is on the throne of your heart rather than you being on the throne of your heart. That's the only way to live a truly wise life. It's the same for your children. The only way that they can live a truly wise life is if you teach them to not to try to rule their own lives, but to live under God's rule. You see, even though Lemuel's mother, in these eight verses in which this oracle is, even though she doesn't mention God, yet the context of the book of Proverbs makes clear this is where it must begin. Mothers, you must teach your children to know the Lord. You know, don't think that it's your job to just help your children to have some sort of personal success and significance in the world's eyes. That may be success to the world, but that's not success to God. And the reality is, to succeed at something that doesn't matter is failure. Your job is to make disciples of your children and your grandchildren. You don't just leave that to the church. Our job is to equip you to make disciples, to support you in your role. So like Lemuel's mother, you have something with your child that their teachers in Sunday school or in children's church will never have. As their mother, you have an intimacy with them. Notice how in verse 2, Lemuel's mother refers to him. She calls him my son. Son of my womb, that is, son with whom I was pregnant. Son of my vows. Now, we don't know any of the circumstances regarding Lemuel's birth. But by his very name, belonging to God, by the very fact that she would say to him, you are the son whom I have vowed to God, we recognize in this woman, she got it. She understood her son wasn't ultimately hers, but God's. I think of Samuel's mom. 1 Samuel chapter 1. She was unable to conceive, but Hannah goes every year to the tabernacle. And when she goes there, she prays to God. And God answers her prayers, gives her Samuel as a son, and she devotes him to God. And so that is what each and every mother, what you must do, each and every grandmother, you need to recognize every child you have, every grandchild you have ultimately belongs to God. And so you are to seek to instruct them to know the Lord and walk with Him. Mothers, God has given you an extremely vital role in helping to instruct the next generation to know the Lord. He has entrusted you with this vital task of helping to teach your children. Recognize God values what you do as a mother. Proverbs itself says to the children, hear, my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. And so next I will speak to children. Children, you indeed are taught in verse 2 that you are to honor your father and mother. We saw that earlier in Deuteronomy 5 as one of the Ten Commandments. And through learning to honor your parents, you are actually learning to honor authority in your life. You know, we look around at our society, and our society today is a mess. People don't honor their authorities, not in the government, and not in school, not in the church, you know, not at their workplace. And one of the major reasons for that is because so many have not learned to honor authority first and foremost in the home. The breakdown in the family will of necessity, it will result in a breakdown throughout society. So here is a universal truth for every single one of us. And children, you know, if you're a youth, pay attention. You are not fit to have authority until you learn to honor and respect and submit to authority. And so to be a wise king, Lemuel had to learn to submit to and respect his mother and certainly his father as well, who would have been king. And so notice verse 2. Three times Lemuel's mother in Hebrew literally just says, what? She says, what, my son? What, son of my womb? What, son of my vows? Now that could either mean, as the English Standard Version as I read it says, what are you doing? Could also be, what am I to teach you, my son? You're going to be king. What do you need to know most? It could also be, if you have the New International Version, it translates it, listen. This is another viable translation. Listen, my son, listen, son of my womb, listen, son of my vows. Either way it's translated, the point is simply this. Pay attention to what I'm saying, son. This is important. You need to hear this to be a godly king. And so as children, you need to learn to honor and respect your parents, to obey them. You know, once a year we celebrate Mother's Day. And, you know, companies out there are vying to use this Hallmark holiday as a way to get money out of you. And they'll try to get you to buy mom jewelry. You know, if nothing else, get her a gift card and buy her a card. And if you go to any major store, they have a whole section, a whole aisle devoted to Mother's Day cards. Now, I was there looking at them this past week in one of the major stores around here. Again, it was just a whole aisle of cards, and they cost anywhere from 99 cents up to like $15, $20 for a card. Well, I had to spend some time there to find the right cards, but let me be clear. I'm not saying that you shouldn't buy your mom something or you shouldn't take her out for brunch or you certainly, if you didn't remember to get your mom a card or something, after service today, go get her a card. Don't forget about your mom today. But if that's all that you do the entire year to honor your mom, you've missed the point. To honor your father and mother is to obey them, to follow their instructions. Now, if you had a godly mother, you're to honor her by listening to her instructions throughout your life. If you didn't have a godly mother, then you honor her by not focusing on all the wrong things that she taught you or did, but instead focusing on the wisdom that she imparted to you just by being a woman created in the image of God. So children, honor your father and mother. Honor your mother, ultimately through obeying what she teaches you from the Lord. And then in verses 3 through 9, we actually get into the meat of Lemuel's mother's instruction. And what she says is certainly meant to be for her son who's a king, and yet it applies to all of us, especially in how we serve as leaders. Now you might say, well, I'm not a leader. I never intend to be a leader. Listen, every one of us is a leader to some degree or another. Because being a leader isn't so much about the position you have. Being a leader is about authority and about your influence on others. So every one of us, to some degree, has some sort of authority and influence. And so the question is not how much authority and influence you have, but rather, what are you doing with the influence and authority that God has entrusted to you? Lemuel's mother teaches us that you can reject living an uncontrolled, self-gratifying life. And certainly those of you who are mothers, you need to teach this to your children. Grandmothers, you need to teach this to your grandchildren. They're not going to get this in school. They're not going to get this from watching TV. Notice Lemuel's mother says to him, verse 3, "My son, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings." In those days, kings tended to have large harems of women. And they were certainly costly, but even more than that, they led often to the downfall of the king. Because this was a distorted use of authority. And you think of Israel's great king Solomon. Solomon infamously had 700 wives and 300 concubines. It led to his demise. Lemuel's mother is teaching her son, do not use the power and position that you have for your own self-gratifying desires. Because this is a real temptation to all of us, especially those who have power and influence. And as Lord Acton so famously put it, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Mothers and grandmothers, your children and grandchildren need for you to teach them. Do not live to gratify their desires. I mean, we live in a culture, in a society that is all about self-gratification. When's the last time you were watching a Pepsi ad and you heard them say, you know, you've had enough Pepsi? One a week is fine. Drink some more water for your own benefit. You'll never hear that Pepsi commercial. Why? Because Pepsi, and I'm not doing this to pick on Pepsi, by the way, all of these companies, they want to get money so that they can gratify their desires from helping you to gratify your desire. In this case, a Pepsi. It's not just commercials. We see this certainly in the sexual revolution of our culture. We see this in the LGBTQ plus revolution in our day. It's all about gratifying their desires. And yet self-gratification leads to utter moral insanity, leads to personal and societal bankruptcy and destruction. And so Lemuel's mother says to him, son, don't give yourself to that. Don't give your ways to those who destroy kings. Now, she's not saying, son, women destroy kings. Not at all. She is a woman who is married to a king. She is saying, son, if all that you do is see women as objects, ultimately, it will lead to your demise. Why? Because, son, as king, your job is to uphold justice. But if you just see people as objects, it will corrupt your thinking about them. You see, friends, you cannot love and serve others while you're seeking to love and serve yourself and your own interests. And today we live in a society that is seeking to undermine anyone who would speak against what's popular today. And mothers and grandmothers, if you are teaching your children not to live for their self-gratifying desires, you're going to be told all sorts of things by our society. You'll be told that you're backward in going against what is called progress. You'll be told that you are doing psychological harm. You'll be told that you're a homophobe and a transphobe, and they're even trying to have laws like the so-called Equality Act to try to silence those who would speak another word. They've renamed prostitution sex work to try to legitimize it. They're sexualizing children. It's time to speak the truth, but to speak it in love. Not to just complain about what's going on in our society, but instead to seek to instill the truth, to speak truth to the powers that be. Mothers, grandmothers, you can teach your children and grandchildren to reject living for their uncontrolled, self-gratifying desires. lest they destroy both themselves and contribute to the destruction of our society. God has given you a voice. Fourth, from Lemuel's mother, we learn that you can reject drowning problems and face challenges wisely. Now, when Lemuel's mom here in verse 4 says, it's not for kings to drink wine, son. It's not for them to drink strong drink. She's not a teetotaler. She's opposing drunkenness. Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever's led astray by it is not wise. But even in that, she's not primarily just against drunkenness. Rather, she's saying that kings should not get drunk because when they do, they just pervert justice. And that was the king's job. He had the challenge of upholding justice. And if he couldn't do so with sobriety, he would fail. Why is it that people usually get drunk? Why is it that they get high to get a momentary release? Because they want to drown their sorrows. They want to get out of the suffering of their existence for a few moments. And so in verses 6 and 7, where she says, give strong drink to the one who's perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. She's not actually saying, all right, son, as king, give out free beer so that they can at least drown their sorrows. That's not at all what she's saying. Rather, what she is saying is, son, you're a king. Act like it. Face your challenges head on. You know, don't be like those who try to drown their sorrows in booze. Son, face what is before you. And so it is for all of us. We are to face our challenges, not try to drown them out. Think about it. When you try to just drown them out or get a momentary release from them, you come back and what's still sitting right there? The same problem. Only now you're in a worse place to be able to deal with it. You know, I grew up listening to alternative rock music. And they regularly sang about the sorrows of their lives. And by the way, these were people who were using every sort of drug that they could to try to get out of their sorrows and enjoy life better. But they were honest about the misery of their lives. You know, we look around at our society and friends, people are miserable. They've been told that stuff would make them happy, and it hasn't. And so they turn to the bottle. They've turned to drugs to try to give them some sort of release from it. When what they're really looking for, only God can give them. As God's people, mothers, grandmothers, you can point them to where they can find true joy and happiness. It's in the Lord. You can, as God's people, we can face the challenges before us with confidence in God because we're created in the image of God. We weren't created to be ruled over by plants like alcohol and marijuana and whatnot, not even by overeating. We were created to rule over God's creation. And as God's people, those who know Jesus, God promises that if we will just ask Him, He will give us wisdom to face the challenges before us. And so rather than trying to drown your problems, we're called to face them wisely. And certainly, again, mothers and grandmothers, you can teach your children and grandchildren to face their problems with confidence in God. Then the fifth lesson that we learn from Lemuel's mother in verses 8 through 9 is that you can serve as a leader for the benefit of others. This is where she's been going the whole time. This is She's finally getting to it in verses 8 and 9 when she says in both of them, open your mouth, son, open your mouth. Don't just stand there silently. Where you have ability to speak, where you have ability to act, do so. Stand up for justice and in love, care for others. Back in Lemuel's day, there were injustices in the world. In the year 2021, nothing has changed. As God's people, we need to speak up for those, as we read here, who are mute. We need to be those who oppose the slaughter of unborn children through abortion. We need to speak up against it. They can't speak for themselves. We need to oppose racism and the mistreatment of the poor. Why? Because they often don't have the legal means to get justice. Like those who are wealthy, or like celebrities who just use their face and their name to get what they want. We need to speak up against the mistreatment of those who are foreigners in our own land. Listen, whether they're here legally or illegally, that doesn't matter. They are people created in the image of God. And so we are to stand up that they would be treated with justice and righteousness. Mothers and grandmothers, teach your children to be good citizens of the United States. But more than that, teach them to be good citizens of the kingdom of God, to learn to live by His grace through faith in Christ alone. You see, the family is not just about modifying your children's behavior so that they get a better education and a better job. It's to teach them to know and walk with God. It is to disciple them, because here's the reality. If you've heard nothing else today, recognize this. Your children and grandchildren are being discipled. The question is, who or what is discipling them? Don't let MTV or Disney or Apple or Google or social media or any of that disciple your children. You disciple them. You teach them to know the Lord. You teach them what it means to know right from wrong and to do what is pleasing to God. Point them ultimately to the true leader and king. Lemuel was at best a faint shadow, a faint reflection of the one who was to come, of Jesus, who in Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 28 said, whoever would be great among you will be servant of all. Whoever would be first must become your slave. Even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. I mean, think of Jesus. Jesus didn't live to gratify His own desires. Jesus didn't drown His sorrows even on the way to the cross. No, Jesus faced them head on. And He went to the cross for our sake. Those who are poor and needy, those who are enslaved to sin, to set us free so that we may have the right to be called children of God. And He hanged there and He died in our place, shedding His blood so that we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. And then the Father raised Him from the dead and exalted Him, giving Him all authority. And so for every one of us today, the question is, have you come to know this King? Because ultimately, every good leader points us to Jesus in some way or another. Have you look to Jesus to have your deepest needs met. I want to close by pointing you to the example of a woman who was born named Susanna Ansley. She was the youngest of 25 children. And in 1688, at age 19, she married a man by the name of Samuel Wesley. Susanna bore 19 children, 10 of whom survived to adulthood. Her husband was often away, and so Susanna was left to care for the children herself, and she educated them, teaching them, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, both the boys and the girls. But not only that, she taught them the Word of God. She taught them the Apostles' Creed, taught them the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Every day for 2 hours, Susanna would sit down in her chair, and while her children were either playing quietly or were reading or studying, she would take her apron, put it over her head like a tent, and sit and read her Bible and pray for her husband and children. Two of Susanna's children, John and Charles, became men through whom God ignited revival and turned a godless society into a God-fearing society. Her sons were John Wesley, the great evangelist, and Charles Wesley, who wrote many hymns that we still sing today. And she did it all in the midst of people opposing her husband, who was a local preacher, and opposing her family and even mistreating them. God used a godly mother in a godless society, blessed her efforts to bring about revival in her day. Mothers, your task is a hard one. It's impossible apart from God. But mothers, it's worth it. It's worth every sleepless night. It's worth every tear that you will shed. Our society needs you. Mothers, you can teach your children to know the Lord and be disciples. You can teach your children to serve others and to lead, not for their own desires, but you can lead them instead to serve and lead others for their benefit. That is the task the Lord has entrusted to you, and He will be faithful to you in it if you will rely on Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you certainly for Jesus, our great King, who came not to be served but to serve, and who gave His life for us. Father, we thank you for the godly mother that you gave him in Mary. Thank you for examples of godly mothers like Susanna Wesley. Lord, thank you for so many other godly mothers, including those who are here today. Father, we pray that you would strengthen them for the task that you have given them. Help us to be those who encourage them in it. Father, I pray for all who are here. God, for those who have come here and do not know you, that you would open their hearts to know Christ, to come to fear you as God. Lord, as we take this moment to reflect on your word, by your Spirit, inscribe it upon our hearts. Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of mothers. You who are our Father who have loved us so much, you have given us the gifts of mothers and fathers, and Lord, today we give you thanks especially for mothers, for grandmothers. Forgive us for how often we take them for granted, and in that way dishonor you. Father, forgive us because so often we do honor them one day a year and with our lips and then fail to live by the wisdom that they imparted to us. Certainly, Lord, forgive us because as a society we have failed to honor fathers and mothers. Forgive us, O God, for how often we have grumbled about those whom you have placed in authority over us, including our mothers. Forgive us, Lord, as we saw from your word, so often we seek to gratify our own desires. We try to drown our misery rather than facing the challenges of life head on. Father, forgive us. Forgive the children who have not listened to their parents. Forgive the mothers and grandmothers and certainly fathers and grandfathers as well who have become frustrated and discouraged and disappointed and spoken harsh words to children and grandchildren. Father, forgive us for how often we fail to pray for our parents and grandparents, and for how often we fail to pray for our children and grandchildren according to your word. Lord, we thank you that you promise us that if we confess our sins, you are faithful, you are righteous, you forgive us and you cleanse us. You don't hold us in them because you have already paid for them in Christ. Lord, I pray that we would all know and own the forgiveness that you give. Lord, thank you for the way that your word not only corrects us when we get off the path, but Lord, it teaches us the way that we ought to live each and every day. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. Thank you, God, because you continue to bless us in so many ways each and every day, ways in which we fail to give you thanks. Father, we pray this morning for mothers and grandmothers. Thank you for them, Lord, and we pray that you would strengthen them for the task you have given them. Even when their children have moved out, even when their grandchildren have grown up, help them to continue to use the godly influence that they have to point their children and grandchildren to you, to speak the truth in love, and we pray that their children and grandchildren would give an ear to hear what they have to say. Lord, we pray for those who are here who cannot have children. Lord, we certainly pray for those who are here or listening, who perhaps for a time are unable to, and we pray that you would bless them to be able to have children. But for those who never will, Lord, perhaps that has been a longing in their heart, but I pray that they would entrust it to you. Perhaps just because they have been single, they're not able to and they wanted to. But Lord, we pray that they would find comfort in you and that you would use them to make spiritual children and to raise up a generation of faithful disciples. Father, we pray for those who are here grieving because they've lost children or grandchildren or perhaps father or mother or their grandparents. Lord, again, our prayer is that you would comfort this day. And this would be a Mother's Day where they can give thanks to you, where they can find their satisfaction in you. Father, I pray for those who have aborted children or encouraged others to abort children, that you would lead them to the cross, where they would find the forgiveness of that sin. That they would find that you are a God who does not hold them in shame, but instead you are a God who who cleanses, and a God who is close to those who call upon you no matter what they may have done. Father, I pray, help us to be a church that honors fathers and mothers in their task. Help us to be a church that encourages them for the work that they are given, especially those who have children and who have young children and teenagers in their house. Father, we pray for our sister church, Redeemer Parkside, for Pastors Dave and Bill and Rich, that you would guide them to be a church that likewise is marked by honoring father and mother, a church that is marked by proclaiming the good news of Jesus, and a church that stands against the flow of our society. Use them in a mighty way, O God, to speak the truth in love, and we pray that many would come to know you through them. Lord, thank you for the work that you are doing in our midst. Help us to join you in it and to see you work both in us and through us. We pray this, Lord, entrusting the work to you because it is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.